We are going to continue with our study on this general theme, the Sermon on the Mount. And it covers three chapters. So we need to look at each section, look at the segment carefully, slowly, and see how the Lord reveals and unveils his life, his ministry, his teachings. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ came onto the scene, actually, very few people understood him as a person, his message, his life, his ministry. People didn't really understand him very much. Now, obviously, when he came onto the scene, he was totally different from all the other religious leaders in Israel at that point of time. Now, in order to understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is, we need a little bit of a background as to the teaching structure, the ruling hierarchy of Israel at that point of time. And it is the word is called a Sanhedrin Council. What on earth is a Sanhedrin Council? It's actually a Greek term. It literally refers to people who sit down together to form a council. And these would be your senior leaders as such. So essentially, it's they've made up of about 71 leaders. For convenience, we call it 70. And they are their leaders, teachers, priests, and so on and so forth. And the whole thing is headed by the high priest. So 70 others plus the high priest, and he always has what is known as the casting vote. Should there be a tie of 35-35, then he has the casting vote that will swing in whatever direction he wants to append his vote. Well, that is how the structure works. 70 plus 1, so we call it the 70, or the Sanhedrin Council. Now, these were the people who were the teachers. They were scribes, they were the scholars, they were Pharisees, they were Sadducees, they were priests, they were synagogue leaders, you name them. These were the people who formed a kind of hierarchy for ancient Israel. Now, the problem here lies with the fact that the Lord Jesus was none of the above. For example, if he wanted to be one of the scribes or the Pharisees or Sadducees, you have to be with them. You have to be, as it were, instructed by them, associated with them, approved by them before you can be anybody. And the Lord Jesus Christ was none of these. He was not a priest. He was not a scribe. He was not a Pharisee. He was not a Sadducee. He is not a council member. So question is, who was he? And that was a really big problem. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came onto the scene in Israel, there was one very important distinctive, and that is he had power to heal. He had authority to cast out demons. His knowledge of the scriptures was truly formidable. His understanding, his wisdom was profound, and none of all the so-called leaders out there had a patch on him. That was the big problem for all the people. How do they understand the Lord Jesus? Do they accept him? Do they reject him? Do they question him? What? And there was a bit of a problem there, obviously. Now, many peoples went against him. The scribes and the Pharisees, Sadducees went against him because they found that his teaching was actually contrary to their own practices, their own understanding. And the usual way is if people don't agree with you, what you do is you attack them. And that's what they did with the Lord Jesus. So they began to call him names, thinking that if they call him names, people may then go against him. So they call him a lawbreaker. They suggested that he had come to destroy the law of God. Now, if that can be sold, if that is believed by the people, the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus would be completely over. And they would have done their work effectively, and they would have destroyed the Lord Jesus and his ministry. And so the Lord Jesus, being aware of all of these things that were actually taking place, although we don't see it stated in Matthew as such, but what he has said will give us a clue as to what he was battling with. And so this is how he began this part of it in his introduction to the ministry. Although, of course, he said wonderful things, we call the Beatitudes. He challenged them to be salt, light, city. Now, the question is, what is it that he came to do? This has to be answered. And this is what he did. And so he says, stop thinking. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And that's Matthew 5, 17. What does this mean as we take a look at this particular statement? Well, first and foremost, it is an open declaration. It is plainly stated. It is as clear and as straightforward as you can get. You can't misunderstand any of these things that he has said, right? So we need to understand phrases, the law and the prophets, or in this case here, the law or the prophets. It really doesn't matter which way you look at it, because to some people, the word law encompasses what we call the Old Testament. For some, a bit more specific, they would distinguish the prophets. And sometimes we even have what we call the writings. So these were the three things. They call this, the Jewish people, they call this the Tanakh. And the Tanakh refers to the Torah. It refers to the prophets, the Navim. And then, of course, the Ketuvim, which is what we call the writings. So you can call it the law, or the prophets, or the writings, or combine them all together, and you can call them the law and the prophets. This is a common phrase. Essentially, this phrase describes the scriptures. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is going to teach this, right? The law is a reference to Moses. And the prophets, a reference to the teaching, the ministry, the lives of the servants of God called the prophets. Now, who were the ones who actually broke the law? Although the Lord Jesus Christ was supposed to have been a lawbreaker, the reality is that Sadducees broke the law. How do we know that? Because if you were to ask them what they believe in, they will tell you that they believe only in the writings of Moses. They essentially rejected all the prophetic books. Well, they are breakers of the law, right? And not the Lord Jesus. Well, this, but somehow they became members of the Sanhedrin Council. How did they get that? Well, partly because the Sadducees were very wealthy people. And because they were wealthy, people sort of made excuses for them, allowed them to serve in committees, in the council, because they can contribute a lot of money to maintain the temple, for example. And if they needed the money, they would rather not say too much about their beliefs. And so they became accepted. What about the Pharisees? Do they break the law as well? Yes. Why and how? They preferred the traditions that they have rather than the law of God. So if there's a toss-up between the law and the tradition, they would choose traditions. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ did none of the above. And so he clearly stated, plainly stated what he came to do. And he said, I came to fulfill. Now, that is a word that the Pharisees and the Sadducees can never use of themselves or for themselves, because they don't really practice the scriptures at all. The scriptures, when they were given, when they were designed to be lived out. They were not just meant to be a store of knowledge you keep in your head somewhere. It is meant to be lived out in real life. And so if a person had come to fulfill, obviously he had not come to destroy, because they are mutually opposite each other. If you fulfill, you are not destroyed. But if you don't fulfill, you are in fact in danger of destroying that which is actually being given by the Lord. They paid lip service to the scriptures, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Did they fulfill the scriptures? Not really. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ had to end up later on, as you will read in Matthew 23, he had to call them simply hypocrites, because that's what they were. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ went on to explain further in Matthew 5, 18 to 20, and he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled." Now, so what does that mean? It tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ had the highest regard. Now, in Matthew 4, we already read about what the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning the scriptures. And he says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, there we go. That's to live out the scriptures. And that's what he did. He understood the scriptures, applied the scriptures, and lived it out. Now he adds further, and he says that the word of God is not going to pass away. Right? No matter how many people may break it, the word of God remains what it is. And that is absolutely vital. Then his statement was absolutely important. Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments, and they teach men to do so, these shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to live by what he has just said and taught. If he breaks the least of the commandments of God, he will be considered least. But if a person were to do and to teach the commandments as they should be, then that person shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Lord Jesus is going to bind himself to what he has made as his declaration or his manifesto with reference to his ministry and to his life. And this is important for us. How do we regard the word of God? That's the first challenge to ask ourselves. The question is then, are we fulfilling the word of God? Because if not, then we are really not much better than the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The challenge is to be sure that the disciples understand how to regard the scriptures. It's not meant to be debated upon alone. It's not meant to be discussed and write about it and say all kinds of wonderful things about it, but don't keep it. That means nothing to God as far as he's concerned, right? So, but when we keep the word of God, what does that make us? We express, as it were, our righteousness before God. Now, when we talk about righteousness, now, this is absolutely important for us to understand. The righteousness, a part of it, is something that people did not really, really fully understand. For example, the scribes, many of them were just scholars. They just write Bible, they get involved in writing. Of course, they also help out people with scribal law, and people, they will try to help explain things. But explaining things, teaching things, is not the same as living it out. That's the first thing. The Pharisees, as far as they were concerned, they were looking at external righteousness. Right? So if they wash their hands properly, if they have ceremonial baths, and if they were to keep the letter of the law, they consider themselves very righteous, but not as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned. The Sadducees, frankly, they don't care about anything except money. Right? They were the ones who controlled the temple trade, and they made tons. Every time there is a major feast, where people come from all over to give offerings to at a temple to God, so-called. Right? They will have to go through the priestly system, and they will have to exchange temple money, their own money for temple money, which is not legal tender. And they will have to buy the offerings that they have to give, the doves for the very poor, all the other animals that were to be sacrificed. The people who control all of these things here were actually the Sadducees. So do they really care about all of these things here? Their righteousness is really more external, superficial than real. Now that was the problem. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to say this to them, that unless the righteousness of the disciples, if that righteousness is true, it exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now that is going to be very challenging. Because on the surface, there aren't people more fastidious than the Pharisees in the keeping of the letter of the law. They had special ways of washing their hands, special ways of washing their cups and plates. They had special ways of almost everything. And this is the way they kept the law. So they will have to work at being righteous much more than the scribes and the Pharisees. So how does that work out? Well, we have to understand the doctrine of true righteousness in the first place. First, there is no righteousness within us. Absolutely none. The righteousness that we have is actually God-given. It is what we call imputed to us. So God accounts us as righteous, not because we are, but because He has made us so. Now, having said that, we must move on to the next scenario. We have to practice the righteousness that God has given to us. If we have been cleansed, then we cannot live in sin. If we know the Word of God, then we must seek to fulfill it. And we do it with heart, mind, and soul. This is how we learn how to love the Lord. Now, if that is the case, then our righteousness would truly go beyond that of the Pharisees. So the Pharisees can actually look very religious, look very righteous, but their hearts could be far from God. Their minds are not focused on the Lord, but only on the keeping of the traditions which they have formulated for themselves. So the Lord Jesus Christ had come to explain to all who would follow Him. Right? Number one, how do we regard the Scriptures? We must regard it in the highest way possible. And the best way to express our regard for the Scriptures would be to fulfill the Scriptures, exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Right? Secondly, we have to check and ask ourselves how we are living for the Lord. And there is external righteousness and there is true righteousness. The imputed righteousness must be cultivated within us until we practice personal righteousness. And when we practice personal righteousness, we are in fact following the Scriptures. We are living out the Scriptures in our life, from our heart, from our mind, from our very soul. And when we are able to do that, then it follows that we will truly be people who will practice the kind of righteousness as we were meant to. And so we have to ask ourselves and examine our own hearts and check, how do we regard the Scriptures? How do we live our life? Is it filled with the righteousness of God? Can we speak of righteousness that comes from deep within us? This was exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. He came to show us what it means to be a person sent from God, a man of God, a true son of man. This was what we were meant to do, to look at the Lord Jesus, examine what He stands for, how He lived out His life, and then truly to follow Him as His disciples, and happily so. But let's be challenged to consider this. with all our hearts. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he came to show us how to regard the scriptures, how to live it out, and how to have the kind of righteousness that we were meant to have. We pray that you will grant us your grace and your mercy. And we pray that you will bless as we take time to ponder this teaching of the Lord Jesus. May our hearts be uplifted and be challenged to read the scriptures, to respect it, and then to fulfill the teachings of it in our life. We give thanks that we can have this understanding. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.